Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you enjoy your time with us, and please join us for tea and coffee after the service when there'll be a light lunch for sale through in the hall. We meet for prayers this week just on Tuesday at 9:15. There'll be no meetings during July, and this week in our prayers we'll hold our members in Straven. And please join us on Tuesday morning at 9:15 if you're able. The Paterson Church coffee mornings every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Paterson Church Hall. Pastoral care visit to Canderaven on Monday the 24th at 2 p.m. And if you would like to come and join us, it would be much appreciated. You can help with the singing. The next Guild Craft Night is Monday the 24th of June at 7:30 in the large hall. And there's a fundraising meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the small hall. We're looking for ideas for fundraising, and if it's something that you think you could help with, please come along to the meeting. That's 7 p.m. in the small hall tomorrow night. Hope Cafe's on Thursday the 27th of June, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then in the evening, it's Hope Cafe 2 at 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. And you're very welcome to come along to both. The Holiday Club will take place in the Church Hall on Monday the 5th, Wednesday the 7th and Friday the 9th of June. 9th of August. My mind was in June. It's the 9th of August, sorry. The leaders are in need of help. Doesn't matter what your age, your sex, your agility. Come along, they'll find something for you to do. So if you can help with that, if you could speak to me fairly. Sadly, Morag McLean passed away, and Morag was a faithful member at St Ninian's. There's a memorial service here on Saturday the 29th of June at 3 p.m. if you would like to come along to that. Morag used to sing in the choir as well, so if anybody would like to come along to that, you'd be very welcome. And there's a tea in the church hall after it. If you know of anyone who's ill and in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let Anne know, and we'll send flowers or we'll visit. Welcome, Anne, to the pulpit this morning, and we're looking forward to what you have to say to us. Thanks, Anne.
Good morning. Where do you look for God? Where does God find you? Please remain seated and join in the call to worship. When we feel displaced and discouraged, in the silence and the solitude, in the chaos, the calm, and everywhere in between, we are never alone. For God, our refuge and our strength, is there, encouraging us, sustaining us, watching us. I'd like to ask Alec to light the candle to signify the presence of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, when we are confronted by the things that scare us and danger lurks on every corner, have mercy upon us. When our senses tell us to run and hide and our friends no longer want to know us, have mercy upon us. When we prefer sleeping to activity and we avoid going out, have mercy upon us. When we shut ourselves away from you and ignore the signs you send us, have mercy upon us. When we feel alone and isolated, and when no one understands us anymore, have mercy upon us. Come, gracious God, encircle us with your love, embrace us with your peace, envelop us with your presence, enable us to be set free from our sin that binds us. Come, gracious God, to help us to stand up for truth and declare justice and righteousness in our lives and Christian communities, assured that you are present and will never leave us. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to ask Eleanor to come and do the readings today. The first one is from Kings 1, chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. Then Galatians 3, verses 23 to 29.
First Kings. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah, "May the gods strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. "It's too much, Lord," he prayed. Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the fruit gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me." "Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the trees and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus, then enter the city and anoint Hazael as king of Syria." The second reading is from Galatians, 2 Galatians. "But before the time for faith came, the Lord kept us all locked up as prisoners until this coming faith should be revealed. And so the law was in charge of us until Christ came, in order that we might then be put right with God through faith. Now that the time for faith is here, the law is no longer in charge of us. It is through faith that all of you are God's children in union with Jesus Christ. You were baptized into union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. So there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free people, between men and women. You are one, all in one union with Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are the descendants of Abraham and will receive what God has promised." Amen.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Well, no children today, so you all have to pay attention. So we heard about Elijah. What an adventure he was having. Poor Elijah. He's running away because Jezebel is after him, and he's obviously very worried and very scared and very, 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 very unhappy. So what kind of things make us unhappy and make us worry? Anything? Who's going to be the new Prime Minister? Any volunteers? Any ideas? Come on, you must have some worries.
Your health.
Your health, yes.
Money?
Absolutely. Anything else? Donald Trump, yes. Say no more, yes. Family, yes. Family are always a concern, aren't they? So we carry all these worries with us all the time, and it can be very difficult, and it can really, really build up. So today I thought, imagine this is one of your worries. It's a bottle of water I'm holding up. And this is another worry. So we've got Donald Trump, and we've got money. What else have we got? Health. Here's another one. Boris Johnson. Now, you've got to carry all of these things every day. What about, let's get to the nitty-gritty, what about things like guilt and a wee smattering of low self-esteem? Eh? And a wee bit of, what else? I forgot what I was going to say. Expectations. My goodness, I've got quite a lot. Right, I need something to carry them in. So, I've got Douglas's rucksack here. Right, it's getting heavier and heavier. I don't know how I'm going to manage with this. Okay, that's a bit better. Okay, so now I've got something I can carry it around in. So, you carry this around with you, day in, day out, and year in and year out. And this is quite heavy. And think about that, all this worry and all this expectation and all these dismays that we have in our lives. How can we make that easier for ourselves? I'm going to keep putting more in here. What ways can we make it easier on ourselves? What can you do to help unburden yourself from your worries? Give them to Douglas. That's right. I'll share them with Douglas. Share them with people. Share them with your family and your friends. Share them with people that can help you, counsellors. Go to Hope Cafe and get the help from them. God, it's really heavy now. Usually I get Douglas to carry this. What else can we do? We can talk to God, can't we? And Elijah was in a place where he was in the desert. He couldn't hear God. He couldn't find him. He was lost. He was alone. So, what else can we do? Once we've unburdened ourselves, talk to somebody, talk to God. Oh, that feels better. That feels better. I've got rid of one or two of my worries now. So you can keep doing that, and you can share it. That's one way. It's easier said than... Oh, ding dong. It's easier said than done, isn't it? But we have to think about what Elijah was going through and use Elijah as an example. He was in the desert looking for God. He was looking for God in the desert, and God came to him. And we have to look for him a lot of the time. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to be silent. It can be very uncomfortable. But God is there. God is with us, and he will never leave us. Okay, so our next hymn is going to be One More Step Along the Road.
We all go through periods of our lives when things don't go the way we would wish. Life can get pretty dark at times, and we feel alone in the world, like Elijah. We know God is always there, but sometimes we just can't see him. He's in the distance, and we honestly wonder, whose side is he on? We feel abandoned, like Elijah. This story is one of the great victory stories of the Bible in the Old Testament. He has slain all the prophets of Baal, a false god that has been worshipped. A truly bloody episode in the Old Testament. He certainly wasn't feeling very ecumenical that day. But in doing this in God's name, on the one hand, a very noble act, it had adverse consequences for him, as we would say nowadays. These actions of getting rid of false gods caused him to upset a woman, Queen Jezebel, and that was not a good idea. She had persuaded her husband to abandon following God and instead to worship Baal. She is so upset and incensed that she swears to kill him. And what does he do? He's truly upset, confused, and hurt. He runs away. He runs away. Perhaps not what you would expect a great prophet to do, but he was scared, and rightly so. Even the mightiest of prophets get to the end of their rope, and their faith is stretched to the limit. The journey is so hard, they don't know if they can go on. There was no Hope Cafe to help Elijah. I've worked in accident and emergency at Glasgow Royal Infirmary, and I have seen firsthand the damage a wee angry Glasgow woman can inflict on a 6-foot guy, and it's not a pretty sight. So he was right to be afraid of Jezebel and her followers. But what happens next? God doesn't abandon him. God sustains and restores him. God does not give up on his servants. Never. He doesn't immediately tell him to get back up and go. He sends an angel. He gives him a break. He feeds him with cake and drink, sustenance for the journey. Many times have we said in desperation, "Oh, give me a break." Yes, everyone here. Elijah was isolated and distressed. He had just carried out an horrendous task, and now he was in fear of his life. In Psalm 34, verse 19, we read, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Elijah feared for his life. Jezebel was out to get him. How often have we felt like that? The boss is out to get me. Nobody understands. I'm all alone. I might as well be dead. The world would be better off without me, as we spiral downwards and downwards to the depth of despair. Like Elijah, we feel alone. Nobody understands. I wish I had somebody to talk to. One of my favourite films is It's a Wonderful Life. You all know the story about George Bailey and the family business, the building and loan, who accidentally gets into bother after his uncle mislays a large sum of money, which we all know has been found by the nasty Mr. Potter. George takes the blame, but he can't find a way out. And we see him spiralling downwards until he's on that bridge, ready to jump, when God sends an angel, Clarence. He shows him what the world would be like if George had never existed. He restored and uplifted him by the knowledge that he had done a lot of good in his life. He has a lot of family support and friends who come to his aid in the time of need. But we know not everyone has experiences like that. Elijah lay down and rested. He fell asleep. How often do we not feel like getting up in the morning? We can sympathise with Elijah. Hadn't he done what God wanted after all? During this break, God didn't appear to Elijah, as we heard in the reading, as a clap of thunder, or dramatic forks of lightning, or a scary earthquake. God reveals himself to Elijah, but not where he thinks he'll find him. No. On this occasion, there were not the expected signs of God's presence. Everything went very quiet. Elijah stood alone, the sound of silence. God, are you there? God used his angel to get his attention. How did he get our attention? God knew Elijah's needs. God knows the journey we have ahead. God is the peace in the middle of the storm, the tranquility in the turmoil, the peace in our suffering, the comfort in the sickness. Elijah was ready to hear God's voice. Are we? God was certainly not giving up on Elijah, and his journey as a prophet would continue, but he was a changed man. We can relate to that in our own lives. Life goes on, whatever the trials and tribulations we are going through, but we're never the same. We've changed, aren't we? Older and wiser, maybe, hopefully. Go on, Elijah, you're ready now. I have more for you to do. Elijah heard God through the silence. Do we feel comfortable in the silence? Do we have the patience in our busy lives to stop and listen? Stop and listen and keep listening. Silence is a sanctuary for God's purpose. C.S. Lewis, the great writer of the Narnia books and a Christian writer, said, "Silence is not the absence of noise, but the place where we gather together the worrying thoughts in our lives that come between God and us." What do we think? Is God still speaking to us? We can miss his presence because we're not ready for it. We don't see it in the small, ordinary things of our lives. Another writer, Richard Rohr, said, "We cannot attain the presence of God because we are totally in the presence of God. What is absent is awareness. The problem is our minds distract us from envisioning that reality. Don't let your mind distract you from that reality." It's a scary time to be a Christian. But Elijah's experience assures us that God is still speaking. Do we wonder if being a church is worth it these days? What would it take to restore the faith and the courage? Recently, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland discussed a radical plan to reorganise the structure of presbyteries and many other things. The details can be found on their website. Sometimes it's easy to feel ready to give up and run away. Elijah was a courageous man, and we are a courageous congregation. He was really beaten, but with God's help, he rediscovered his purpose. What's ours? We who are the followers of the way, Paul emphasizes in this letter to Galatians, he emphasizes faith. We need to have trust in the empowering presence of Christ, who died to redeem us, and have faith to follow in his way. Let's take time to reflect as we listen.
Lord, darkness, my old friend.
Our next hymn is CH4550, As the Deer Pants for the Water. When the words are done and the noise all used up, may we be still in the silence. Your offering will now be received.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Generous God, giver of all good gifts, we honour you today and present our gifts to you. May they be used wisely. May they go to where they are most needed. Amen. Our next hymn will be CH4502, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Join together in prayer. God of this world, may our silence never be empty, but filled with the ways of love. When we pray for conflict, may we use words only when necessary, but live in peace, work towards peace, believe in peace. In Afghanistan and Iraq, in Ireland and Somalia, and Darfur, and Israel, and Palestine. Hear us. When we pray for creation, may we use words only when necessary, but live in justice with the environment, work for renewal, believe in its integrity and generosity, in desert and rainforest, tundra and prairie. Hear us. When we pray for the hungry, may we use words only when necessary, but live towards a balanced world, work for politics and policies that are equitable, believe hunger and poverty an anathema to you, in our own communities here as in other places. Hear us. When we pray for our families and neighbourhoods, may we use words only when necessary, but live with love towards each other, work for each other's well-being, believe in community and compassion. For those lonely, isolated, ill or recovering, fearful or stressed, hear us. God, who lives in the silences but is never silent, hear all our prayers. Amen.
I think we accidentally missed out a hymn earlier on, which is a shame because I was complimented on my choice of hymns this morning. So, don't worry, we'll fit it in before the end. Is that all right, Yvonne? Okay. So, our next hymn is 251, The Lord of Sea and Sky. Is that right? Good. Seated. Can you hear it, the silence? Listen. The silence has spoken. Go fill it with the works of love in the world. And now we'll sing again. For those who are able, if you wish, you can sit and sing. And this hymn, the next hymn, is 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. The benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore.